They feared for their very lives. Two women in different parts of the country at different times experienced sustained harassment by two different men, which culminated in both men bringing their terror to the women's homes. Eve McDowell from Sligo and Una Ring from Cork have come together to drive a new campaign for a law which would define stalking as a standalone crime and for longer jail sentences. Their attackers are in jail, each sentenced to a total of 7 years, with the final two suspended. Their stories are in today's Irish Examiner, and we are going to speak to Eve and to Una now, who are going to tell us what happened to them, the impact it has had and still has on them, and why they want the government to change the law. Eve and Una, you're both very welcome, and thank you for joining us. And I'm very conscious that we are asking you to recount an extremely traumatic time in your lives. So if at any point during this interview you wish to pause, that's absolutely fine. Eve, I'll start with you. You were a student in NUI Galway in May of 2019 when your attacker began his campaign of stalking and harassment. When did you first notice that he was taking a very unhealthy and unwanted interest in you?
I suppose I noticed it got really, you know, out of hand. There was one day I was in work and I noticed him outside at 9:30 in the morning. Then later on, I went for my lunch that day and I could see him outside the restaurant that I went to. I went back to Air Square then and I could see him again. All of these times he wasn't approaching me. He was kind of just looking from a distance. At this point, I had noticed him hanging around a little bit, but wasn't too sure, you know, was a coincidence or not. So I had notified some friends and then I had went back to work after lunch at 4:00 that day then. My friend called in to me to let me know that she could see him outside the shop sitting on a bench looking in. And then after work, I went to the pub with my friends and I was kind of telling them about what had happened. Shortly enough, then he popped up again inside the pub. So we moved to another pub and we got a window seat and we could just see him walking up and down for about 30 minutes trying to look in and see where I was. Then after that, I went to McDonald's and he was outside there again, so me and my friend went to confront him and she found him hiding, crouched down behind a car and asked what he was doing, why he was following me, and he ran away laughing. And then my friends were walking me home and he popped up again on the walk home. I suppose that's when I was very alarmed.
Did you know him, Eve? I mean, was he a stranger to you?
No, he was kind of like a mutual friend of a mutual friend. We were in the same college accommodation in first year, so it was a small enough accommodation. You do get to know people, but never really had one-on-one conversations with him before that, apart from maybe if he used to come into the shop I worked in sometimes. But, you know, it wouldn't be anything past conversation at the till.
So May 27th, what happened?
I think I had been at home for a while. I went home for a week just to get away from it all. And I went into town with my boyfriend at the time to get food. And when we came back into the estate, I could see him at the bushes opposite my house, crouching down, hiding. So I ran inside and rang the guards. They came and they took statements that night. Then I was just awake all night, couldn't sleep. I just had a feeling something was up. I kept thinking I could hear something outside. Then my housemate was sleeping on the couch. I got up to go to the bathroom at about 7:50 and that woke her up. So she opened the balcony door for some air because she was really warm. And then as she was falling back to sleep, she heard the floorboards creaking and she looked up and he was halfway across the sitting room. He had a hammer in his hand and I could hear her shouting from the sitting room, "Oh my God, it's him, get out, get out."
And what did you do, Eve?
At that point, I just, went into total shock, jumped up and kind of locked my bedroom door and then opened it to see was she all right. We called the guards instantly. My other housemate that was upstairs was down as well. We just all locked ourselves into my bedroom. We were pushing furniture up against the door. We didn't, you know, she came in holding a hammer. We didn't know where he was gone. He had jumped off the balcony, but we weren't sure whether he was going to get back in, or, you know, it was really frightening. We didn't know what was going to happen next. The guards eventually came back then about half an hour later saying that they had found him crawling up the road behind our estate.
And he was caught and prosecuted and convicted. And he's in jail now. I'll come back to you even in just a few moments to find out about the impact all of this has had on you. Una, you're very welcome to the programme this morning. Your terror lasted for around 6 months, I think, of 2020. When did you first encounter your attacker?
Well, he was a work colleague, so I had been working with him for approximately 18 months, and he left our employment in February of last year, and within a day or two, he was ringing me to try and get me to meet him in his new place of employment. The first time he rang me, he was looking to hand over his projects, and I asked him to meet me in our old office because all the paperwork was there. Then he rang me and he was offering me a job, and he wanted me to meet him to discuss the a position in his new company. And again, I was like, I'm very happy here. And then he rang me a third time and he asked me to help him out with getting stuff ready for an exhibition. So I agreed to meet him. And when I met him, he made advances on me, which were completely unwanted. I told him I thought he was married. He said he was separated. I told him I wasn't interested. And the following morning, then the messaging started, and he was messaging me for approximately 6 weeks. And I was ignoring them. If there was any work-related ones tailing off his position, I responded to those, but otherwise I ignored them, thinking that he'd get bored and stop. That had quite the opposite effect. He was starting to get really irate. And on the 1st of April, he said that he was going to come to my house because I wasn't answering his messages. No, I didn't think he knew where I lived, but he did. So I told him not to contact me again. I told him to leave me alone, and then he went quiet. But I was very unnerved by what had happened, what he had done to me, and by the messaging and the threat of coming to my home. So I did go to the guards in June of last year. I just wanted to report it. And then on July 7th, I woke up and my car wheels were pink. The 13th of July, my house window had been sprayed with X's and O's, and "I win" was written across the windowsill. And the following morning, I found a letter under the windscreen wiper of my car, just saying that he was watching me, and that I should wear more dresses, and he was looking forward to our moment, and just very creepy. And then I put in CCTV cameras, and the guards at this stage were doing patrols in the park where I live a couple of times a night. And then on the 23rd of July, he left the second letter, which was very threatening. He threatened to break in and rape me and my daughter. And so the guards set up a surveillance operation outside my home from 12 midnight until 5 a.m. And then on the 27th, he was arrested on my property with the crowbar, duct tape, rope. He had block picking equipment in his car. And he had an 11-inch dildo strapped to himself. And yeah, it was very, very, very traumatic. The whole episode from start to finish basically was very, very traumatic.
Did you fear at any point that he might kill you?
I did. He had done research for online for chloroform, but I had decided that if it was going to continue, that I was going to get a tattoo with my name, my town name and my date of birth in preparation for being killed, basically. So that if my body was found pretty quickly, that they'd be able to identify me pretty quickly. Because, like, I knew what his end game was. I knew he was intent on raping me. But the fact that I would know who he was, I felt that he would have killed me. It was very, very traumatic. It's like, you know, on the nature shows when we say the antelope is drinking from the stream and they're their eyes are constantly looking around, waiting for something to pounce on them. That's the way it is. You can't relax. You can't relax at any stage, morning, noon or night. You're always on high alert. You're always waiting because you know that something is going to happen and you just don't know when. So you're just constantly waiting for it.
Eve, did you feel the same? Did you feel that your life was in danger?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, he showed up to my house one time and tried to get in the door. He was outside my bedroom window with his beard shaved off, his eyebrows shaved off and his hair shaved off. You know, just you're dealing with someone who's completely unpredictable. You do think the worst, and I do think that my life was in danger, definitely, constantly on high alert.
And what impact has it had on you since? I mean, he's in prison now. Do you feel any safer?
It takes a long time to come to terms with the fact they actually are in prison. I think it does take a while for that to settle in. You know, I wouldn't say I'm not looking out as much, but it's still always there in the back of your mind. And as well, you're just thinking, what happens when they get out? What's the next move then? Do you have to hide away? Do you have to keep your life really private and be careful about where you live? Am I going to have to move? All of these things, you know, go through your head often.
Una, have you changed since all of this happened?
I have. I'm very wary when I'm talking to males in particular. I'm very careful of how I speak to them. And even afterwards, I will go back over conversations and think, like, did I say anything that could be misconstrued? Did I come across too friendly? I just have lost faith in how I deal with people, because you do get the sense of, had I done something to draw him on me, we'll say, for want of a better expression, even though I know my heart and soul I didn't, you do feel, did I do something, you know? And it does change how you think. And even now, like, when I get into the car, I lock the door straight away. I check the back before I get into the car. I check my back door and front door continuously to make sure they're locked. And still, like, when, like, there was, my aunt had sent me flowers on Easter Saturday, and I just, do you know, when things like that are sent to you, you do say, you know, is it from somebody strange? Or, you know, it's still on your mind. And, like, I do still see him around, even though I know it can't possibly be him, but somebody who looks like him it would frighten me, you know. And I do still see him around, and it's very hard to, to move on from it, really, you know. And I dream about him an awful lot. Just strange dreams. Like, I dreamt that my boss had rehired him even after everything that had happened. And, you know, these kind of strange dreams. Like, he's just popping up in my subconscious, I suppose, as well as, you know, I think I see him physically around, you know.
They're both in jail. They both got sentenced to 7 years with the final two suspended. They were sentenced for harassment, but that was the lesser portion of the sentence. That was around 3.5 years. The other more serious, the longer sentences rather, were for, in your case, Una, attempted burglary with intent to rape, and Eve for aggravated burglary and assault. Why, Eve, do you want the government to make stalking a separate offence?
It needs to be recognised as a crime. You know, it's not, the word stalking isn't in the Non-Fatal Offences to the Person Act. It's just not there. It's not recognised. It is far more sinister than harassment. You know, it's a pattern of fixated, obsessive behaviour, and it's repeated, it's persistent, it's completely intrusive. You know, Scotland have done it, and the results there have really helped a lot of women and men as well. I think it's really important that the guards have the tools to intervene in the early stages so that it can be, you know, hopefully we can prevent anyone having to go through what me and Una went through.
Una, I'll read a statement we got from the Department of Justice to you, and you can tell us what you think of it. They told us last night that the creation of a distinct offence of stalking was carefully examined by the department in the context of the harassment, Harmful Communications and Related Offences Act of 2020 and follow consultations with various stakeholders and an in-depth examination of the current offence of harassment. It was clear that stalking behaviour is already encompassed in the current offence of harassment under Section 10 of the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Persons Act 1997. And in lieu of introducing a distinct offence of stalking, Section 10 of that Act was strengthened substantially to 10 years imprisonment, which they say reflects the harm caused by those who engage in the most serious forms of harassment. What do you say in response to that?
Well, I still don't think it's harassment is good enough. Like, the way I feel about even my case, like when he was messaging me, that's harassment. But when he came to my home on five different occasions, a 4-hour round trip, like that is stalking. That is far above and beyond harassment. And I think when somebody is continuously following somebody, you know, staying outside their workplace for 8 hours, as in Eve's case, like that is stalking. That goes well beyond harassment. And like they're saying about the 10 years, like our guy's got the exact same sentence. But like the 5 years that James Steele got, he's going to be out in 2024. I already have his due release date. So he's going to serve three. So like 7 years reduced to five, he'll only serve three. So really, you can knock 50% off a sentence. So if they sentence somebody to 10 years, it's only really going to be five. And it's not enough. It's not enough. And I mean, stalking has to be, like, if somebody is killed, you have involuntary manslaughter, you've manslaughter, you've murder three, murder two, murder one. And these cases should be the same. They should be more defined, where harassment is, I believe, should be messaging, phone calls, emails. But I think once somebody crosses your threshold onto your property or is continuously following you, aggressively following you, turning up at your workplace, then that is stalking. And I think it needs to be more defined, and the guards need to have more power in I suppose, confronting people and, you know, telling them to stay away from people. And you know, they should only get one chance at that. And if they do, like in Eve's case, they confronted the stalker, the guards cautioned him, and he still came back. You know, so obviously what's there at the moment isn't working. I know, I suppose we got our day in court, but I feel if there was an actual stalking law, we would have got more justice.
We're very grateful to you both for talking to us this morning about a very, very difficult time in your lives. And thank you so much for doing it, Una Ring and Eve McDowell. And if you've been impacted by this story, there is help available. And details of that support can be found at rte.ie/helplines.